tuned in to the spiciest podcast in the world, live from your local Cash and Carry, the notorious Gucci podcast. Have me some of that jewelry.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another great edition of the Notorious Gucci Podcast. This is episode 124, if I'm not mistaken, 124 of the Notorious Gucci Podcast, episode 124, in your earphones, on your speakers, on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, wherever you're listening. Thank you so much for supporting and listening. Episode 124, Notorious Gucci Podcast. As always, I'm your host with the most, man, your most humble and gracious host, the boy the most sauce, the boy the most chutney, man, spring a bit of garam masala on top, the rotli to your sack, the khichdi to your curry, the dal to your bhat, the samosa to your chutney, the gatya to your jalebi, the common to your dhokla, the chili to your paneer. I'm your host, Notorious Gucci, aka Milanoza, welcoming you to episode 124, Notorious Gucci Podcast, man. Quick little update here, weather wise here in the UK, man. Yep, temperatures are dropping, man. It's getting cold outside, baby. It's getting cold, man. So make sure you guys are wrapping up, man, staying safe, staying warm, and drinking plenty of fluids, and just keeping healthy, man. Staying blessed and staying healthy, that's all we want, man. You know, make sure you're wearing your mask, maintaining space, washing your face, hands, arse, all of that business, you know. Yeah, so quick little weather update for you guys here on the UK, man. In terms of this week, man, what a week we've had, man. We've got lots of music to talk about, a lot of music drop, man. We've got brand new albums and projects from St. John, Jeezy, Meg dropped her debut album, French Montana dropped a mixtape, Coke Boys 5, DaBaby dropped an EP, Meek Mill dropped an EP, a little 4-pack as well. So we've got a lot of music to get through today, man. A star-studded, jam-packed week in terms of music. A few singles, obviously light on the single sides, but heavy on the albums. And We've got a Coronis update for you guys here in the UK as well, so I'll get to that as well. Some upcoming new music we'll talk about as that as well. What I've been watching this week, which hasn't been too much really, and also gaming. And you know, we'll talk about the hectic launch week that was here for the PS5 in the UK last week, and all the business surrounding that. And also I'll highlight some Black Friday deals for you guys on the PlayStation Store as well. So yeah, I'll talk about that. And then finally I'll give you guys my Crash Bandicoot 4 It's About Time review. It's about time really, right, since I give you this review, because I've been with it for about a month and a bit. So I finally completed it, and so I'll give you guys my review on that as well. So a lot of stuff to get through, man. So let's start, man, on the music. Let's start on the single side of things, man. You know the fucking vibes,
you know the fucking vibes.
Hit my shit.
Hey DJ, turn up the music.
Yes, turn up that music, man. So let's talk about the singles, or the few singles that we got this week. So staying here in the UK, man, we got my guy Mist MIS to the fucking T. He drops a new track called Cemetery Talks, and it's dope, man, really dope. We haven't got a project from Mist this year, so I know he's had a lot of things going on. He also was shot as well, so he's recovered from that. So you know, shouts out to Mist. But you know, he's one of my favourite grime MCs, you know, one of my favourite UK artists. And yeah, just want to hear more music from him, man. Yeah, he drops a new track, Cemetery Talks. Gets his shit off, he's talking that shit, man. I love when Mist just starts rapping and talking his shit, and this is one of them, man. And yeah, this is a dope track, really really dope track. I like it from Mist. Glad to hear from him after such a long time. Yeah, man, really digging it, man. And you know, so I've got a better big up the UK, got a big up where I'm from, got a big up my whole country, man. So yeah, man, Mist, really dope track, Cemetery Talks. Let's hope this is a rollout or something to a new project. But yeah, for now, Mist, Cemetery Talks, 4 chilies out of 5 for me on the spiceometer. Quite spicy, quite thick-cool indeed. Next up, man, we've got Wale and Gunna. They dropped a new track called Flawed. Wale dipping into his relationship bag, as he does so effortlessly. And you know, I think this is where Wale thrives on. Even though, you know, he's a really underrated rapper, and you can rap his ass off, I really do love when Wale gets in his relationship bag and starts talking about the women and, you know, just relationships. You know, tracks like The Matrimony, tracks like On Chill, you know, Lotus Flower Bomb, you know, these are the classic Wale relationship sort of tracks, man, and I really like them. Yeah, so this time linking up with Gunna, and they dropped the track Flawed. Yeah, this one's a really good one as well, man. So, you know, Wale keeping his relationship bag going, man, and keeping the streak going with these tracks. Yeah, really dope, man. Really, really dope. 4 chilies out of 5 for me on the Spiceometer. Wale and Gunna, Flawed, man. So make sure you guys go check that out. Next up, man, we got Nas, you know, fresh off obviously releasing that good album that was King's Disease, you know, executively produced by Hit-Boy. He drops a new track, this one called Fallen Flying Stars. And yeah, this is another dope track from Nas. So yeah, he's had a great year, you know, with that album produced by Hit-Boy, and then now with this new track, for Fallen Flying Stars. So yeah, shouts out to Nas. It's a dope track. Not sure where this is gonna land, really. I think it's just a Lucy of things, because I didn't see much promotion or anything behind it. But yeah, a dope track here with Fallen Flying Stars with Nas, and yeah, shouts out to him, man. Shouts out to the legend. 4 chilies out of 5 for me on a Spice Summoner with that. And last but not least, Goldlink here. We haven't heard from Goldlink in a minute. He drops a new track called Best Rapper in the Fucking World. You know, everybody's got entitled to their opinion, and you know, everybody should feel that way. as for the track itself, if you were dropping a track called Best Rapper in the Fucking World, then you should do some more rapping on it. But I just didn't feel like this was that type of track, to be honest. I really didn't hear much rapping from Goldlink on it. The beat was just a bit off as well for me. If you're gonna pick if you're gonna say you're the best rapper in the fucking world, then you know, pick a good beat at least to get your shit off on. But yeah, I don't really know what was going through his head when he dropped this track. But okay, now that's not to say it was complete and utter, you know, Tutti man, complete and utter podra, but I was expecting a lot more if you're naming this track Best Rapper in the Fucking World, and it's been a minute since we heard from you. Again, yeah, so not saying it's absolute dog shit, but it's in the middle category, man. It lands in the mid. Not great, but not amazing. So 3 chilies out of 5 for me on the Spiceometer with Goldlink's new track Best Rapper in the Fucking World. Yeah, so a bit of mid with that. Yeah, and that is our singles here for this week, man. Big singles. Mystery Symmetry Talks, quite spicy. Quite tickle there. Wale and Gunna with Flawed, also another quite tickle track there. And then Nas with Fallen Flying Stars, also another great, quite tickle track there. And then Goldlink with a bit of mid with the Best Rapper in the Fucking World. So yeah, make sure you guys go check those tracks out, man. They are on your streaming services now. Right, man, let's talk about some albums, man. As you know, it's been a heavy week for some albums, so let's kick things off with Meg anyway, man. So yeah, Meg dropped her debut studio album Good News, right? The album comes packaged at 17 tracks. It's got the previously released Don't Stop with Young Thug, the Savage remix with Beyonce. Yeah, those are your previously released tracks there. And then you got other features from DaBaby on track 3, Cry Baby, Do It on the Tip, City Girls and Hot Girl, Meg, Little Dirk on track 6, Movie, SZA on track 7, Freaky Girls, Popcorn and Mustard on track 11, Intercourse, Big Sean and 2 Chainz on track 12, Go Crazy. So those are your features there. So you got 17 tracks on here. You got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 8 features. 8 features, and then, you know, Meg goes solo dolo on the rest of the album, man. So 8 feature tracks on here, man, and then you got 9 solo dolo tracks on here. So it's been a while, man. It's been obviously hotly anticipated, you know, no pun intended. You know, so it's been hotly anticipated, Meg's debut studio album, and here we have with Good News. Obviously, she's been through a lot this year, you know, all the stuff that she's been through, the whole shooting debacle with Tory Lanez, and that alone is obviously quite a lot to handle and quite a lot to deal with. So she's been through the ringer this year, and obviously with the pandemic and whatnot, it's not been a obviously great year for everyone. So Good News with Meg. Let's start off with the first track. The first track is called Shots Fired. And so right off the bat, when I knew this, I knew that she's gonna start addressing what happened in that whole incident with Tory, right? I knew her off that, but what I didn't know was what beat was she's gonna use, and it makes sense why she used it. She used Biggie's the Notorious B.I.G. Biggie's classic diss record to quote unquote Tupac, right? Who Shot Ya, you know, one of the greatest Biggie tracks. You know, I'm a big fan of that one. She used the beat for that, and she started dressing shit straight off the bat. Imagine people lying about shooting a real bitch, huh? Just to save face for rapper guys you chill with. Imagine me giving a fuck it was your birthday, man. You and your feelings, I just thought it was another Thursday. Now imagine me cop blocking people on some dry shit. I don't want you on the bench, believe you would have been invited. And if it weren't for me, same week you would have been indicted. Should have let them lock your ass up. You offered M's, that's millions, not to talk. I guess that made my friend excited. Now you're all in cahoots. Okay, you were puss in boots. You shot a 5'10 bitch with a 22. Talking about bones and tendons like them bullets wasn't pellets. A pussy guy with a pussy gun in his feelings. Okay, he in the backseat and he keep calling me bitch. We all know this shit I could have come back with. He talking about his followers, dollars and goofy shit. I told him you're not popping, you just on the remix. Yeah, man, shit. Straight off the bat, Meg ain't playing, man. Meg ain't playing. She comes out, you know, swinging, and over one of the most, you know, notorious, you know, B.I.G., you know, whatever you want to call it, notorious, sinister beats. Who Shot Ya? One of the dopest beats, man. And yeah, she starts getting her shit off, and I was just like, okay, shit, yeah. And obviously she continues talking about it a bit. Imagine me entertaining your goofy ass and you fucking goofy bitches and things. Who you taking shots at? Goofy ass. Keep your broke ass out of a rich bitch business. yeah, man. So she comes out the gate swinging, and yeah, I'm here for it, man. I fucking love it. So it's as spicy as fuck, man. It's spicy, man. I mean, just for that, she's got to get that spicy drop.
Ooh, spicy.
Now you got to hit that shit again. Turn the volume up.
Ooh, spicy.
Yeah, spicy, man. She comes out of the gate swinging with a spicy track there with Shots Fired. I was here for it, man. I really dug it. So really dope intro into Meg's album, man. And, you know, I think it's good that she addressed it straight off. Straight off the bat, she addressed it. And then, you know, then she goes on to talk about just her, you know, and, you know, focus on her. Like, now get that shit out of the way. Now let's focus on me and my debut album, which is dope. And yeah, I'm not mad at it. I really like that. And then yeah, we go into the, you know, the album itself. You're getting your classic sort of Meg sort of vibes, you know, just tracks that you can, you know, want to dance, you want to twerk, you want to, you know, do all that shit too, real hot girl shit, as she says. Circles, Cry Baby with the baby, Do It on the Tip, you know, Sugar, you know, movie sound, you know, tracks like this where she's, you know, getting in that very sexual sort of bag as well. Especially the track 7 Freaky Girls with SZA. And then you got the viral track that's going viral quite right now, is the track 8 Body. And, you know, she started a little body challenge, and, you know, she's doing the dance and stuff like that. So this is your typical sort of Meg sounding sort of album after that first track, right? Again, yes, I said she gets into, you know, getting explicit on the sexual side of things as well. Tracks like Intercourse and things like that, Go Crazy, you know, so stuff like that. And then yeah, you got the great remix that she had with Beyonce with that Savage remix, and then Girls in the Hood, which also was previously released again, so apologies in there. And then ends it with the Don't Stop track with Young Thug. All in all, man, you know, this album is dope. It's worth a listen, definitely worth a listen. Obviously, the highlight for me is that first track, Shots Fired. I think she's rapping her ass off on there. And, you know, yeah, she sounds great on that beat. And then after that, this is your typical Meg sort of sounding album, you know, what you would come to expect from Meg. And that's not a bad thing. You know, I did especially like some of the sexual shit you were talking about. I was like, all right, cool, man. I'm digging it. So yeah, this is a pretty dope album, man. Pretty dope debut for Meg. Now, I'm not sure how much she's on pace to sell, but you know, I don't really think Meg cares too much about that, as far as I'm concerned, as far as I've seen. But yeah, man, this is a dope debut album for Meg. And yeah, man, shouts out to her, shouts out to everybody who worked on it, the features as well. Yeah, they're dope as well. I think the features are great, you know, carefully selected. And they fit with the songs as well. And yeah, she does her shit, man, on her solo tracks. She does her shit on there. So this is a dope album for Meg, dope debut album. Good news. I do recommend you guys go check it out, especially if you are a fan of Meg and her previous work and her back catalogue. So what do I give this Good News album, this debut studio album from Meg? 4 chilies out of 5 for me. Quite spicy, quite tickle indeed, man. Dope debut. Shouts out to Meg, shouts out to everyone who worked on this album, man, and contributed to it. Right, next up, man, let's just talk about some more projects. So French Montana, he dropped a little mixtape, Coke Boys 5 mixtape album, what you want to call it. The next installment in his Coke Boys series. This Coke Boys 5 project comes packaged at 19 tracks, all coming to about 59 minutes or so. Meg's album, sorry, that was 17 tracks and it was coming to 50 minutes, right? So yeah, it's French Montana, 19 tracks, Coke Boys 5, 59 minutes. We've got features from Jim Jones, Lil Durk, Pop Smoke, Jack Harlow, who else? Chinks, Dearly Departed Chinks, rest in peace. Max B, Youngboy Never Broke Again, Benny the Butcher on Wave Blues, which was previously released. ASAP Rocky, Lil Mosey, Currency, these are your features on here. So quite a feature heavy project, which French normally goes for, to be honest. So what, you out of these 19 tracks, you've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15 out of the 19 tracks are all features. So you've got 4 tracks which French goes solo, but that's nothing new from a French album. We knew that, French loves his features, and he's that's what people look out for, and that's the ones that get him streams. It's Coke Boys 5. You know what, man? I've always come on this podcast and I've said that, French is not an album artist. He's not an album artist. He's a singles artist. He can put out great singles. But he's not really a good album artist, right? And I still stick by that. However, this project, I felt it a bit more easy listening to, feel a bit more like, okay, this sounds good and things like that. Now, this is solely based on obviously the features that are on there as well. I think the features are carefully selected, and they do a great job. Like Jim Jones, for one, on the first track. Lil Durk, he pops up throughout most of the whole album. Max B, Benny the Butcher, Youngboy Never Broke Again, ASAP, Currency and things. These guys, they shine out on this album and provide some great feature verses on there. This is a good album for the features. Great features and things. I think French, he pops in and out, on the feature verses as well, on the tracks with the features, one quick verse and things or things like that. I actually enjoyed listening to this Coke Boys 5 project. So this is sort of the first sort of full length project of French's that I've enjoyed listening to. Normally with French's projects, there's like a few tracks I pick out and things on there and that I like. I don't see anything for me on here to go back to. There's a track, Paradise, on here. That is sort of giving me an Unforgettable Part 2 sort of vibe. It's just the beat and the things. There's definitely like sort of an Unforgettable Part 2 or Part 3, sort of vibe on here. I say Part 3 because I know that him and Swae Lee did follow up that Unforgettable track with another track, and they did dub it Unforgettable Part 2, I think. This is giving me those sort of vibes. Not sure obviously if it's going to take off right now because obviously the pandemic and things, but I do think that if we were living in our normal sort of situation, that I would hear that track playing a club a lot. First full sort of project I enjoyed listening by French, but solely because of the features. But again, it is something that I don't think I would go back to, though. I listened to it once, but apart from that, like, I don't see anything pulling me back towards that, you know, that this project, to be honest. I don't think I will revisit it anytime soon, or potentially maybe even ever, you know. But it's worth a listen if you're a fan of French and you like these sort of pike sort of vibes or these trappy sort of beats and things, and you like French as an artist. But apart from that, yeah, it's worth a listen for me. It's worth a listen one time for me. You know, people may be feeling differently about that, but it's just my opinion. Apart from that, I can't see myself going back to this. But that being said, it was a dope listen on the first go round. So French Montana, CB5, Coke Boys 5, 4 chilies out of 5 for me on the Spice Summertime. Quite spicy, quite tickle indeed. Right, moving on from Montana, let's talk about the baby. So the baby, he dropped a little EP dubbed My Brother's Keeper, and this was in tribute to his late brother who passed away just a few weeks ago. So rest in peace to the baby's brother there. And he put out this little EP here, called My Brother's Keeper. Long Live G is called, I believe. Let me just get up the information. The baby, yeah, My Brother's Keeper. Long Live G, right? So this EP comes packaged at 7 tracks, so about 19 minutes, coming to about 90 minutes. So it's got features from Meek Mill on track 2, 8 Figures, No Cap, and Polo G on track 5, Handgun, Tussie on track 6, Business, right? He talks about, obviously, the death of his, dearly departed brother, and how it's affected him, and, where he was and things. Even throughout the whole project as well, he talks about, his relationship with his brother growing up, and, the situation at home with the family, and then also him talking, him finding out the news and going to visit his brother's family and things. So a very deep sort of introspective sort of a project here from DaBaby, which we don't get too much, I was here for it. I do love music which is quite heartfelt and got a lot of content and got a lot of emotion in it. And even though you can't really hear it in his voice too much because of his flow and things, a lot of people know what I'm talking about. DaBaby has this sort of one-dimensional flow, and you can't really hear some of the pain and things in his voice and things and all of that. But even though you can't hear it, you can sort of understand. He paints you a picture of how things went down and things. And I enjoyed listening to this, man. I did enjoy listening to this. Highlights for me, obviously the first track, Brother's Keeper, track 3, Shania, track 4, Gucci Pico, track 7, More Money, More Problems. These are sort of the highlights for me. But yeah, the actual EP in itself, these 7 tracks, they were good. I did enjoy listening to that. So a little tribute to his late and dearly departed brother, man. Rest in peace. Prayers and condolences, obviously, with his whole family, and the whole family and the baby and things. This is a dope listen, really dope listen. So it gives you sort of a different vibe, man, different atmosphere from what we've come to expect from DaBaby, right? And I'm here for it, man. Definitely here for it. I love music with more emotion and more content on there, and gives us a story about them. Shouts out to DaBaby, man. LC prayers, condolences and things. Well wishes are with you and the family. And yeah, man, definitely recommend you guys go check this out. That's My Brother's Keeper, Long Live G, by DaBaby, this EP, man, and you can find that on your streaming services now. 4 chilies out of 5 for me on a Spice Summertime for that, DaBaby with My Brother's Keeper. Alright, next up, man, Jeezy, fresh off of his versus battle with Gucci Mane, which was filled with some drama, and to say the least. He used that as a rollout to his new project, The Recession 2, the follow-up to his album The Recession back in 2008. This album was packaged at 15 tracks. It features the previously released Therapy for My Soul. You got features from Tamika Mallory on track 1, Oh Lord, Yo Gotti on track 4, Back, E40 on track 5, The Ghetto, Demi Lovato and Lil Duval on track 9, My Reputation, Neo on track 10, The Glory, and Rick Ross on track 14, Almighty, Black Dollar. So yeah, this project, this Recession 2 project by Jeezy, 15 tracks, all coming up 48 minutes or so long. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 feature tracks on there, and then 9 solo tracks with Jeezy going on his own on that on this Recession 2 project. So to start things off, I really dug the intro, the Oh Lord intro. In the first you know, even the first three, four tracks, man. Oh Lord, with Tamika Mallory, Here We Go, Modern Day. Jeezy touches on a lot of things, you know, what's been going on, the pandemic, you know, the racial protests and things, all of that, you know. He touches on all of those sort of topics, the election and things, you know, in these first 3-4 tracks. So I thought that was a really dope way to start off this album, and, you know, just transition into those. Then getting into the album, it was okay, you know. Just sort of your classic sort of Jeezy, you know, sort of your classic sort of Jeezy sort of vibes. You know, day one Jeezy fans will probably love this. But yeah, nothing really stood out for me, you know, going after the first 3-4 tracks, you know, transitioning in that middle of the album as well, especially. Nothing really stood out for me until, like, probably getting to the last 3 tracks of the album. You know, I dug that Therapy For My Soul track that he put out last week, where he addresses a lot of the issues which he's had with Freddie Gibbs and his whole label, and, you know, taking aim at 50 Cent and things. So I dug that. I like the Almighty Black Dollar track with Rick Ross as well, one of the standouts. And then finishing off with The Kingdom. So yeah, the first 3 tracks I dug, and the last 3 tracks I dug, so about 6 of them I dug, man, out of this 15 song album. Apart from that, it's a bit of a mid for me, man. It was more a pile of mid for me, man. So because of the overwhelming amount of mid from Jeezy on this Recession 2 project, yeah, it didn't unfortunately hit the quite spicy, quite tickle rating for me, unfortunately. So it's worth a listen, definitely worth a listen if you're a day one Jeezy fan, and you're a big fan of young Jeezy, or, you know, Jeezy as he goes by now. Definitely worth a listen, I do say that, but I don't see anything for me to go back on this and, you know, replay either. You know, even the standout tracks as well, you know, Almighty Black Dollar and Oh Lord and Here We Go and Modern Day, you know, Therapy For My Soul. You know, Jeezy always comes in the albums after Seen It All for me, you know, which I believe is Jeezy's best album, in my opinion. Seen It All is his best album, in my opinion. In the albums after that, he's always had, you know, one or two, or, you know, just a handful of maybe good tracks on these projects, but not the full project itself. And obviously this is the same here, you know, a handful of good tracks, but the full project itself wasn't that great for me. That's just me. I know day one Jeezy fans, and they have the Jeezy Hive and things, the Snow Hive. You know, they obviously argue different, but yeah, only a handful of tracks on this again, you know. So this has been what I've come to expect from Jeezy for me personally. Yeah, definitely worth a listen, but, you know, from my opinion, you know, worth one time listen, but I don't see anything to go back to on that. But shout out to Jeezy, man. You know, being in this game for so long, I thought he said he retired, but obviously not. And then, you know, shout out to, like, the sportsmanship and the mature man he was, and how he handled this whole versus situation, this whole versus battle with his longtime rival, Gucci Mane. It's great to see them patch it up at the end and perform a song together. But yeah, I think that's as best as we're gonna get it, right? Apart from that, man, yeah, you know, shouts out to him for all of that. And apart from that, yeah, check this album out. But for me, it's a pile of mid, man, from GC. 3 chilies out of 5 for me on a spiceometer. A pile of mid with GZ with the Recession 2. Right, man, next up we had Meek Mill. He dropped a 4-pack EP called Quarantine Pack EP. 4 tracks on there, all feature tracks. You know, we've got features on the first track from Vori, Little Dirk on track 2, Pain Away, 42 Doug on track 3, GTA, and then Vori again makes his presence felt on track 4. I think it's a game. Four tracks coming at 13 minutes, so long. Yeah, it's a dope EP for Meek, man. I really did like it. It's been a while since we heard from Meek, so it's great to hear from him. And I'm always here for new Meek music. And yeah, it's a dope EP. I really liked it. You know, getting your classic sort of Meek Mill vibes on here. He's been teasing this Pain Away track with Lil Durk for quite some time over Instagram, dropping snippets and video snippets and things. So yeah, that was great. And GTA track of 42 Doug was also dope as well. And the last track, Think Is a Game, I think that was the highlight for me. Meek getting in that storytelling, introspective bag, which I really like when he does. That's probably the standout for me. But apart from that, man, full track EP, 30 minutes so long. It's a dope EP, man. I think it's a dope EP for me. I enjoyed listening to it. Yeah, so I think this is the only probably pack of new music for me we'll get until probably next year, which I do believe will put out a new project or so. But yeah, man, this is some dope music, man. So shout out to Meek and yeah, everyone you know, who contributed to this album. Lil Durk, let me just say this, Lil Durk. So I put out a tweet yesterday. I said it looks like Lil Durk is the go-to feature this year, man, on tracks. You know, he featured on you know, Drake's first single off Certified Lover Boy. You know, that Laugh Now Cry Later, which obviously I walked back my take. It's grown on me. That track has grown on me, and you know, I'm liking that track more and more. So he snagged himself a feature on there, and then he's popped up on 3 out of the 6 albums that were released this week, man. He was on Meg's album, he's on this Quarantine Pack EP, and then he's on you know, Coke Boys 5, you know, throughout you know, multiple times on that French Montana Coke Boys 5 album. So it looks like Lil Durk is the go-to feature this year, man. And you know, it's good for him, man. I know he's been through a lot. He's had a lot of legal troubles and this and that, you know, we won't get into that. So you know, he's gone through a lot, and it's great to see that you know, for someone who's been in the game for quite some time, it's great to see that, you know, he's popping up now on, you know, these big artists' albums, and you know, getting his name out there. Obviously people, you know, who followed him from day one know him and know his back catalogue and things. I can't say the same for myself. You know, I haven't really proactively gone out and listened to a Lil Durk album or project, which you know, I'm going to turn around. I'm definitely going to do that. You know, go back and listen to his back catalogue and things, because you know, his features, and you know, he sounds dope. And you know, he put out a track the other week, Stay Down, with Black and Young Thug, and that's one of my favorite tracks this year so far, man, hands down. I've been playing that on repeat since it came out. So that's a really dope one. And yeah, so shout out to Lil Durk, man. Yeah, really happy for him. And you know, and he's having a big year, definitely having a big year this year. So yeah, shout out to Lil Durk, man. Yeah, man, shout out to him. Right, so that was Meek Mill with a Quarantine Pack EP. 4 chilies out of 5 for me on a spice summertime, man. Quite spicy, quite thickle indeed. And last but not least, man, let's get to the other release of last week, and that was my guy Saint John, man. And you know, I say that because Saint John is one of my favorite artists, and so I was really excited about this new project. I'm always am when he puts out some new music and things, and his third collection, as he calls it. So yeah, this new project, this new collection of music, While the World Was Burning, by Saint John, packaged at 12 tracks, all kind of 38 minutes long. We got features from we've got Lil Uzi Vert on track 5, High School Reunion Prom, A Boogie and the Baby on Monica Lewinsky, Election Year, and the Roses remix with Future, Kanye West on Pray For Me, JID on Quarantine Wifey, Black and Kehlani on track 11, Ransom. Those are your features on there. So you got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 features on there, and 6 solo tracks. You got the previously released Sucks To Be You and Gorgeous on there as well. So yeah, Saint John, While the World Was Burning, man. And you know, you know, a great title for for a project, because the world was burning, and the world still is burning, you know, during this whole pandemic and things. As for the project itself, man, it's a dope project, man. Call me biased or whatever, but you know, I've never been disappointed with St. John's albums. You know, the first collection one was dope. Collection two, you know, Get a Lenny's Love Songs, great. And this isn't no different for me, man. As I said, he's one of my favorite artists, so you can call me biased or what, but his music has not been poor, in my opinion. His music has not been poor. He's got that voice, man. He's got that voice which just makes a track, man. And he's just those, you know, those tone, his tone of voice, his, you know, his vocals and things, man. He just sounds absolutely, you know, phenomenal. He sounds great, man. He sounds great. And yeah, man, really, really, really liking it, man. I've just been a big fan of Saint, man. And he just puts out some great music, man. You know, touches on a lot of things, you know, especially, you know, he loves to get into his relationship bag as well. And I fucking love Saint when he does that. That's where he shines, that's where he excels. And you know, yeah, he can rap as well, man. He can rap as well when he wants to and things. But you know, just the frequencies, as Ty Dolla Sign would say, the frequencies and the vocals and things, and you know, it's just his voice and things. It just sounds great, man. It sounds great. If I were to pick highlights from this project, man, there's so many. Sucks to Be You was great. Monica Lewinsky, Election Year. Pray For Me, Kanye, Quarantine Wifey, Time For Demons, Ransom with Black and Kehlani. You know, these are just some of them, man. But you know, the project front to back for me has no skips at all. Has a lot of replay value. I always go back to listening to St. John's projects, man, because they're so great, man. They're so great. You know, and that's also a key thing for me, as I pointed out, you know, last week, and I keep saying. St. John, While the World Was Burning, man, 12 tracks, man, 38 minutes, man, front to back, this is a vibe. That's it with Saint, man. He gives you music that is a vibe, man. Like, you wanna, this is the type of music you drive around at night to, and you know, this is the kind of music that he makes, and I fucking love that, man. I really fucking love that. So yeah, shouts out to St. John, man, for another great project. You're 3 for 3 for me, man. You're 3 for 3 in terms of your projects, your collections. You haven't disappointed. And yeah, just shouts out to you, man. Happy for you. Shouts out to Biggs Burke, man. You know, controlling things behind the scenes. And yeah, man, you know, just a great project, man. Shouts out to all the features on here as well. Greatly and perfectly selected. Yeah, man, really dope project there with St. John, While the World Was Burning, man. And you know the fucking vibes, man. You know what time it is.
You know the fucking vibes.
5 chilies out of 5 for me on a spiceometer, man.
Ooh, spicy.
Bahut spicy, bahut tikku. Ekdam tikku che bhai, ekdam tikku. Oh, we indeed, man. So shout out to St. John for another great project there with While the World Was Burning. 5 chilies out of 5 for me on a spiceometer, man. And yeah, man, shout out to him, man. Great project. Make sure you guys go check that out, man. If you haven't heard from St. John before, you must have, because that Roses remix that you've been hearing on the radio for the past God knows a year or so, he's the guy behind that. Obviously, you got remixed and remixed and remixed and things, but he is the guy behind that. And definitely go check out, you know, his back catalogue, you know, Collection 1, Get O Lenny's Love Songs, and this While the World Was Burning, man, because you will not be disappointed. Shout out to St. John, man. Right, man, yeah, that wraps us up on the music side of things, man. So yeah, a lot of music came out this week, man. So some quite spicy projects, man. A week of quite spicy projects. Meg with Good News, French with CB5, The Baby with My Brother's Keeper, Meek Mill with a Quarantine Pack EP. We got a bit of mid there with Jeezy with Recession 2, and both spicy, ekdom spicy, both the cool track, the album there with St. John, While the World Was Burning. So make sure you guys go check all of that out, all that new music out right now. Right, man, let's talk about some news, man. So let's hit my news drop.
You seen the news, bro?
Yeah, we seen the news, man. So lockdown here in the UK, we're entering week number 3, week number 3, just coming to week number 3, things like that. This is week number 3 out of week 4 of this 4 week, you know, yeah, of this 4 week lockdown. It was announced yesterday that this national lockdown also will be coming to an end on the date of December 2nd, as people would hope for. And if we're going to be returning to the tiered system that was laid out before, you know, the 3-tier system, tier 1, 2, and 3, with 3 being the highest, right? We'll be returning to that, and with some even stricter measures. And so, you know, these even stricter measures, I mean, to be honest, like, it just feels the same to me. If it does feel the same to me, these stricter measures. But let me just read them out, right? Just for anybody who is unaware of that. So, returning to this tiered system from Thursday, December 2nd, right? And let's see if I can find this. Right, here we go. Tiers in England, the summary, right? So, in tier 1, just remember, you can meet with up to 6 people indoor or out. Pubs and restaurants, table service, last orders at 10 p.m. Shops and personal care. Personal care and shops are open everywhere from whichever tier, from 1 to 3. Entertainment venues are open in tier 1. Staying over up to 6 people in tier 1. Places of worship open, but no interactions with people you couldn't interact with elsewhere. So a rule of 6/household only. Weddings and funerals, 15 guests for weddings, receptions and wakes, 30 for funerals, no wedding receptions in tier 3. Gyms and swimming pools are open everywhere. So that's a summary of tier 1 and, you know, some of the rules that are going across all 3 tiers. In tier 2, you can only meet up to 6 people outdoors as opposed to indoors and out in tier 1. Alcohol is only permitted with a proper meal at pubs and restaurants in tier 2. Entertainment venues are open. Staying over is only with household or bubble, and then the rest is the same. In tier 3, you only can meet with 6 people in public in outdoor spaces, right? So you cannot meet with them indoors. So again, same as tier 2 really, 6 people outdoors, and tier 1 is 6 indoors and out. But tier 2 and 3, 6 people in public outdoor spaces. In tier 3, pubs and restaurants are only operating a takeaway and delivery service only. Entertainment venues are closed in tier 3. Staying over, not allowed except for work or study related. All right, I'm not sure how that's going to work. And everything else is the same. So that is kind of a summary that is going into these stricter tier systems, right? That are, you know, coming into place on Thursday, December 2nd. Thursday? Was it Wednesday? Let me have a look. How am I getting me dates confused? No, December 2nd is a Wednesday, my apologies. So these are the rules that will come into place on Wednesday, December 2nd, right? And these will last up until March of next year. No sort of information right now. There's been heavy speculation about, you know, Christmas gatherings and you allowing you to see your friends and family over Christmas and having this free for all from the 22nd to the 28th. A lot of things have been speculated. It was speculated before that, you know, you allowed up to 4 households mixing and things, but nothing has truly been confirmed from the government, from the Prime Minister anyway, regarding this new this whole Christmas meeting and things. This will be obviously relayed to us at a later date. I do believe probably sometime next week or in the week after that, heading into Christmas. But yeah, you know, majority of shops and things will be remaining open. You know, if you are in tier 1 and 2, and tier 3 would only be pubs and restaurants that would only be takeaway and delivery only. Apart from that, non-essential retail and things will be open. This is the month they make most of their money anyway, so it made sense why they're going to be reopening. It made sense, but it doesn't as well, because I still feel like, you know, we're averaging between 200 to 500 deaths still a day. Cases or anywhere between 15,000 and 30,000, yeah, hey ho, right? You know, just the government here, right? Yeah, no information on any sort of Christmas meetups and things at the moment. It is speculated that, you know, some leeway will be allowed, but you know, all I've got to say to that is, okay, you know, meeting up with friends and family over Christmas, having a free-for-all and things, okay, cool, but the thing is, it's just going to be a vicious cycle. We're going to do that for those 5-6 days or whatever, right? And then it comes around to January and we'll be back in another lockdown. So you know, it's just a vicious cycle. You're going to open things, allow people to meet up, and then you're going to go back into lockdown. It's just a vicious cycle, in my opinion. So yeah, I mean, I know Christmas is a big thing, you know, across the whole world and things, but, you know, with a year that's had so many festivals and things cancelled, you know, Eid, you know, for Muslims, you know, Diwali and things for, you know, my Hindus and, you know, everyone there, Sikhs, Jains and things, is Christmas really that, you know, important that you need to allow a free-for-all and things? I don't know, man. I'm not gonna get into a whole religious sort of talk here, to be honest. I do feel people's pain, I do feel people's hatred or, you know, outrage when you know, when they say that, you know, for our festivals we had to do this and things and nothing was open or whatever, but for Christmas they're allowing all of this. Yeah, I do feel people's you know, notions and opinions on that, and I do sympathize with them. I do. So I'm not agreeing with what the government is going on. I never have done, right? But you know, as I said, this is the month where they make most of the money and things, and they're trying to recoup all of this. I don't know, man. I've kind of exhausted every sort of avenue and every sort of feeling I have about this, and I'm just like, whatever, man. Just as long as I'm keeping safe, family's keeping safe, you know, we're all being vigilant and cautious. That's the main thing, and I think that's what you guys should be doing as well, man. Just you know, just make sure you see yourself and your loved ones and your family all that are safe and staying cautious, because these things are going to keep continuing to happen. Open close, new rules, some new restrictions, new this, stricter this, and it's going to keep on happening, man. You know, until, you know, everybody gets sort of vaccinated. And on the topic of a vaccine, I know I haven't talked about it, and I just want to give a really brief sort of notion. I think a lot of people are getting ahead of themselves, right? For someone who I work in the pharmaceutical industry, you know, who has, you know, works in knowledge in clinical trials and things, I think a lot of people are getting ahead of themselves. Just because, you know, we're getting news that so-and-so vaccine is this much percentage effective and this and that. Nobody is reading the fine print. You're not reading the fine print. You're not reading it in full detail. You're not reading that they've only tested it on X amount of, or 30,000 or 12,000 or whatever people in this age group. That's it. And this is only in phase 2. They still got to go through phase 3 and phase 4, which are the lengthiest stages of a clinical trial, right? So I urge everybody not to get ahead of themselves. Do your research, you read into these sort of things before you, everybody's spouting some nonsense over the internet and to their families over WhatsApp and things. You know, I and my family is a culprit of that. I always call my mum out on her bullshit because she thinks like, oh yeah, everything's sorted now. I was like, no, it's not sorted. Just because, you know, they're getting these minute sort of positive results, yeah, it's some good news, definitely is some good news, but it's not saying that, oh yeah, we're out of the clear and that's it, it's all over, we're vaccine sorted and this and that. And I think like the government is being ahead of themselves and jumping the gun, ordering millions and millions of these vaccines and things, when still it's only been tested on a small population, in an age group that is the higher risk. You haven't tested it on other age groups and things, and you haven't tested it on more people, really. And that's the whole thing about a clinical trial. You know, you need to test it on different age groups, different communities, ethnicities and things from different parts of the world to truly see, you know, what the results are, right? Plus, obviously right now, you're not going to be told what the long-term side effects are, right? You're only going to be told what are the short-term, oh yeah, you just experienced this and that. Now, obviously I'm not going to scare anybody and things, but, you know, for a clinical trial, for a drug to be approved, you know, yeah, it takes about between 12 and 15 years. That's how long a clinical trial for a drug runs. And you're telling me that they made a vaccine within, what, 6 months? Man, like, it's just put it in perspective, right? It's got still a lot of testing, still a lot of results and a lot of things they need to do before this can be rolled out to everybody, right? Everybody should not jump the gun at the first vaccine that rolls out the door, right? Make sure you do your research and things before, you know, spouting some nonsense and some lies over the internet and to your families and friends and things. I just urge you guys to do that. As a scientist, as a person who works in the industry myself, I'm just encouraging you guys to do that, right? It's good news. It's good news. It's a good start, but we still need to be patient and wait. No, there's no sense of jumping a gun and getting excited and things and thinking everything's all over and things, right? So let's just see how it goes from here, man. You know, shout out to, you know, Oxford and AstraZeneca and Pfizer and everybody, you know, who's putting in the hard work and effort, you know, to make, you know, getting these results and things. So shout out to all you guys, you know. Yeah. All right. So there's a UK Corona sort of update for you guys there, man. Let's talk about some new music, right? So we got a new music dropping this week. We've got Juicy J. He's dropping his new album, The Hustle Continues. And he's put out a track listing. I believe he just put it out yesterday. We've got 16 tracks on here, man. We've got features from Wiz Khalifa on the previously released Goddamn High. I really didn't like that. That was an absolute bodro, dutty sort of track there. I thought Spend It with Little Baby and 2 Trains, track 3, track 4, Pull Up with ASAP Rocky, track 5, Killer with Conway, track 6, That's the Way It Goes with Key Glock, track 7, Shopping Spree with Young Dolph, track 8, 1995 with Logic, track 10, got Shorty Band with Logic again, track 11, Load It Up with NLE Chopper. I believe that was released as well. Yeah, it wasn't that great either. Track 12, She Gon' Pop It with Meg Thee Stallion and Ty Dolla $ign. Track 13, Memphis to LA with J-Rock. And then those are your feature tracks. So, quite feature heavy, man. 16 tracks. You've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. 11 feature tracks out of 16. So you've got 5 solo tracks from Juicy, right? And 11 feature tracks. But you know Juicy is a legend in the game. He's great behind the boards and production things, you know, 36 Mafia and things. I still love Juicy's debut album, which was Stay Trippy. I still go back and listen to that. That's one of my favorites. His other album after that, Rubber Band Business, it didn't have any replay value or anything for me. Let's see what this new album is going to bring. The Hustle Continues, November 27th, this Friday, which is Black Friday, so that is coming this Friday. So yeah, definitely be on the lookout for that. Right, let's talk about some TV and movie and what I've been watching. So I haven't been watching any, you know, TV, nothing new on TV apart from what I've been watching, which is The Wire. I'm on season 3. I'm enjoying watching that, and then Scrubs, I'm on season 3 as well. So I'm just watching that, nothing new really. I've seen a lot of people talk about this new series called The Undoing, so definitely gonna check that out, you know, and I'll give you guys my thoughts on that as well, you know, once I've, you know, finished off The Wire and so on. So yeah, I'll definitely go check that out. But yeah, apart from that, nothing new I'm watching in TV. Let's talk about some movies, man, what I've been watching. Where is my movie drop? Here we go.
Hey, bro, you seen that new film?
Yeah, not a new film, to be honest, but I managed to check out Dark Waters, which is on Amazon Prime Video UK. It stars Mark Ruffalo and it has Anne Hathaway in it as well, who plays his wife. And it's a great sort of thriller. You know, sort of great sort of thriller movie there, and you know, I've been digging my thriller films. you know, I'm a big fan of thriller films, and I've been digging them over the last few weeks or so. So I was looking for some great thriller movies to check out, and yeah, check this one out. Dark Waters, man. Yeah, it revolves around a tenacious attorney who uncovers a dark secret that connects a growing number of unexplained deaths to one of the world's largest corporations. While trying to expose the truth, he finds himself risking his future, his family, and his own life. Now, one of these corporations he's talking about is can't remember the name, but it was the people who manufactured these Teflon non-stick frying pans, right? You know, Teflon is a coating that they use in the non-stick frying pans, and they were causing deformities in, you know, pregnant women. You know, when they gave birth to the child had, you know, some deformities, and it contained a chemical called PFOA. right? It's like fluorine. It's like, I think, yeah, it's a fluorine, right? And very toxic. And this is a true story. It's based on a true story, right? And I had no idea of it, right? So yeah, Teflon is used to coat these non-stick frying pans and things, and it contains this harmful toxic chemical PFOA, and you know, it caused, you know, a lot of health problems for people, you know, back in the 1990s and even the early 2000s. Luckily nowadays, now, you know, with these new products, Tefal and things, it's not pure Teflon that is coating the frying pan or the products. It's a mixture of that and a less harmful sort of substance, which, you know, it doesn't really result in any sort of, you know, adverse sort of side effects or adverse sort of effects at all, you know. So you'll see this, as I said, this is based on a true story, and you know, there was loads of lawsuits and things, and they had to recall a lot of things, and you know, find a sort of suitable alternative, which they did. But yeah, it's very interesting, very informative. I think Mark Ruffalo does a great job, you know, portraying his character as that lawyer, as I said, based on the true story and things. And yeah, man, really dope. If you've got some time, you know, definitely go check it out. If you've got Prime Video here in the UK, definitely go check that out. I really recommend you guys. It's about 2 hours long. Yeah, but definitely worth a watch, man. You know, I was unaware of all this, and you know, you learn something new while you're enjoying a film, and I think that's great. Dope, really dope. So yeah, Dark Waters, that's on Prime Video UK. 4 chilies out of 5 for me on the spiceometer. Quite spicy, quite thickle indeed. Some movie news, man. Black Panther 2 is going to start filming next year. So obviously, of the untimely death of Chadwick Boseman, you know, no one really talked about what's going to happen with the whole, you know, Black Panther series, and rightfully so. But we received word last week, or you know, during this week, that you know, the sequel, Black Panther 2, will start filming next year. And Shuri, who's played by Letitia Wright, you know, she plays T'Challa's sister in there. She's going to have a bigger role. And you know, I see a lot of people getting mad and things, you know, how can you know, continue this without Chadwick and things. But I think these are the same sort of people who actually did not read the comics or do not know the full backstory of Black Panther, because in the comics, after, you know, after T'Challa, his sister Shuri is the one who actually takes up the role of Black Panther. So in the comics, she takes up the helm, and yeah, she does a great job. So you know, I like that idea of her taking up the role, and you know, her taking up the helm of being Black Panther. And if that's the way that these guys are gonna go about this film, you know, Ryan Coogler and co, yeah, I'm here for it, because that is what was depicted in the comics, and that would be staying true to the comics. And so yeah, I definitely think that you know, I'd definitely be here for that. Obviously, you know, no one will replace Chadwick, and you know, the experience that he brought to the role. But if they wanted to remain true and continue the series of movies, then definitely think that having Shuri in the lead role is the way to go forward on this. That's my personal opinion. So but yeah, we'll wait to hear more on that as time goes by. Some other movie news was announced that Wonder Woman 2, aka Wonder Woman 1984, will be hitting select theatres on December 25th, Christmas Day, and it will be available to stream on HBO Max. And HBO Max is a streaming service that's only available in the US at this moment, so it will be hitting select theatres and HBO Max simultaneously on December 25th. What that means for the UK, I do not know. If it's, I think you have to pay a subscription to HBO Max in the US. So I feel like when it is released there, I think it will be here, but it will be on a pay-per-view sort of basis. I think you would have to pay £12 or £15 or something, unless they sort of negotiate a deal somewhere with one of the streaming platforms, Prime, Sky. I don't know, right? Yeah, I'm not sure how it's going to work here in the UK, but I do see here, if it, when it comes here, that you'd have to pay some sort of fee, you know, like we did with some of the films that were released earlier this year, you know, like Invisible Man, whatever and whatnot, right? So, that was announced, and well, yeah, I think, you know, if they had the film ready to go and they were just waiting for a release date, and obviously with the whole pandemic going on and then not seeing it, a light at the end of the tunnel, especially in the US because the situation is so dire there, this makes sense, you know, what the next move is. And I do see some films, you know, there's some big films down the line going this route, you know, no matter how long the pandemic goes on or no matter when a vaccine comes and things like that, I think still people will still be a bit hesitant to go out and gather in big crowds and go to big venues and things. So I do see this becoming the norm for at least the next six to eight months at least. So I know they delayed 007 No Time to Die, you know, James Bond here in the UK, they delayed it back till April now. It was supposed to come out in April this year, then it got delayed to November, now it's delayed back to April of next year. There is being talks about that being put on a streaming service and things, paying a fee and things. I do see that happening, and I do see, you know, with Black Widow as well, which was supposed to come out in May and it was delayed to November, and then now it's delayed to May again next year. I do believe that this will be the case for that potentially as well. It might hit Disney Plus like Mulan did, and you have to pay about £20 to watch it, right? Which I feel I'll be pretty happy to, you know, I wouldn't mind that. But yeah, I do see this sort of new way of movies hitting, you know, these streaming sites or these platforms with some sort of fee involved going forward for the next 6 to 8 months at least, because I don't feel like anybody will be that, you know, forthcoming to go to a theater to watch these things, you know. So let's see how things go, man. Right, yeah, that's the movie side of things, man. And let's talk about gaming then, man. Hit my gaming drop.
Have you played that new Gamma? You mean game? That's what I said, Gamma.
And what would a gaming drop be without my nostalgic classic PlayStation drop? Goosebumps, guys, goosebumps. Right, man, let's talk about some gaming news. So we had Night City Wire episode 5, you know, Cyberpunk Night City Wire. We had the fifth and final episode, which aired on Thursday, I believe, and it was about just over about 30 minutes or so, and it focused on Keanu Reeves' character Johnny Silverhand. He did a deep dive into his character, like the recording process and, you know, the motion capture and things that, you know, Keanu Reeves was involved in. It was really dope to see. Gave us a bit more background into his character Johnny Silverhand and how he's going to factor into the story of Cyberpunk 2077. You know, he's a sort of memory that's in your mind, and, you know, he pops up from time to time, and he's got his own sort of agenda, and, you know, he influences some of your decisions, or, you know, what to do and things. So that's pretty dope. You know, I don't want to reveal too much. If you guys want to check that out, check out that Night City Wire episode 5 for more information. But yeah, he plays some sort of an integral part of the story and things of Cyberpunk 2077. They also touched on the music in the game, you know, the radio stations and things. You know, we talked about that Run the Jewels track that came out last week, you know, No Save Point. So, you know, they will be featured on, you know, a radio station and things. You've got artists like Grimes in there as well. Run the Jewels and a plethora of other artists on there. And, you know, this will be the music you'll be listening to, you know, while you're driving around fucking shit up in Night City, man. So that was dope. And they showed off a final sort of gameplay trailer, which is about five minutes or so long. Showed us some cool stuff, you know, weapons and things, and stuff, you know, we've seen before, but just in a bit more sort of a gameplay sort of environment, which was dope. Makes you more excited for the game, definitely, man. It looks really dope. I cannot wait to play it, even though I probably won't be playing it until next year. I'm not going to pick it up for PS4. I don't think I am. I'm going to wait till the PS5 version comes out and just play it on PS5 next year. But yeah, it looks dope, man. I will be checking out the reviews, and, you know, IGN did a 16 minute was it a 16-hour sort of hands-on with it, and they gave her like a final preview, which is dope. If you want to go, guys, go check that out to get a bit more information. Copies of the game are out in the wild, right? So just be aware that, you know, if you're going online and things on Twitter, Instagram, whatever, you know, visiting these gaming blogs and platforms and, you know, sites and things, that the copies are out in the wild. The speculation of it being 70 gig and two discs does seem to be accurate, definitely, because, you know, we've seen these boxes out in the wild and things, on the PS4 at least, anyway, we know that. So if you want to avoid spoilers, just make sure you mute anything on Twitter relating to Cyberpunk and things, because, as I said, these copies are out in the wild, and, you know, people, unfortunately, we do have those sort of people out there in the world that love to ruin things for people. So just be very vigilant about that. Do be vigilant about that. All right. So yeah, man. So I cannot wait to see more about Cyberpunk 2077, and that is coming out December 10th. Doesn't look like there's going to be any sort of delay, as copies are out now in the wild. So yeah, man. Definitely be looking forward to seeing more information, or, you know, reviews and things on that. Right. Let's talk about some Black Friday sales, man. So you know, Black Friday is this Friday. But a lot of people are doing pre-Black Friday sales a week in advance. And obviously, PlayStation Store have jumped on that as well. So they're offering you some great Black Friday deals, man. And, you know, I've highlighted some great few deals on the PS Store just for you guys, man. So if you want to make your way to the PS Store, man, there's some incredible steals for Black Friday. Ghost of Tsushima is £39.04. You're saving on average about 29% on that. Marvel Spider-Man Game of the Year Edition is £26.99. So that includes the DLC, The City Never Sleeps, and, you know, Silver Sable DLC and things. So yeah, £26.99, that's a great deal there. The Last of Us Part 2. £31.34. You're saving 43% on that. Great game. Crash 4, It's About Time, £38.99. You're saving about 35%. Mafia, the Definitive Edition, which, you know, I reviewed quite a few number of weeks ago. I gave it 4 chilies out of 5. I paid £35 when it came out. I said that this is definitely a game that you should get when it goes on sale. So Mafia Definitive Edition is down to £26.24. You can save 25% on that. God of War, this is an absolute steal, man. God of War, the critically acclaimed, my favorite video game character and video game series of all time, the latest installment that was released in 2018, is £7.99. You're saving on average 50% on that, man. That's a great steal there. Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order, again, another game that I reviewed back at the beginning of the year. Great game, £25.79. That's 57% saving on that. Crash Team Racing Nitro Fueled, it's £12.24. You're saving a whopping 65% on that. It's great. Resident Evil Raccoon City Edition, that is the Resident Evil 2 and 3 remake, £25.99. You're saving 60%. This is the better option, because if you were to buy Resident Evil 2 on its own, it is £13.99, and Resident Evil 3 on its own is £16.50, I believe. So obviously, altogether, you're paying just over £30 if you were to buy them separately. However, if you were to buy this Raccoon City Edition, which is the Resident Evil 2 and 3 remake, it comes to £26.99, saving on average 60%. I actually went for this edition because I really wanted to play these remakes for quite some time, and I needed something new to play after completing Crash 4 and this whole PS5 debacle, which I'll get into. But yeah, great, that's great. So yeah, Resident Evil Raccoon City Edition, there's the Resident Evil 2 and 3 remake, £25.99, you're saving 60%. The Witcher 3 Game of the Year Edition, £10.49, who's saving a whopping 70%, an absolute steal for that price. You're getting a great game for that money, man. A game that you can easily sink 100 plus hours into with the quests and side quests. A steal at that price. Spyro the Reignited Trilogy, £12.24. Another great game, saving a 65%. Uncharted 4, Thief's End Digital Deluxe Edition, £7.99, saving 50%. The Last of Us Remastered, $7.99, same again, about 15%. Batman Return to Arkham, which is the Arkham Asylum and Arkham City games, £10.49, you're saving a whopping 70%. Assassin's Creed Origins, the Deluxe Edition, £12.59, you're saving 80%. That was another game I really wanted to get. Haven't bought it yet. I'm in two minds, but I'll see. But that's great. Saving 80%. That's great. Because the actual standard edition of the game is £49.99. It's weird, right? But the deluxe edition is actually £12.59. You're getting more and you're getting for a cheaper price. Great. So these are all Black Friday deals for the UK here on the PlayStation Store. So if you're feeling like you need a new game and you know, you want something new to try out and things, you've got some spare time on you, or if you haven't secured a PS5 and it's not looking like you will, like me, for quite some time, then definitely go check out these Black Friday deals, pre-Black Friday deals that are alive right now on the PlayStation Store. Some great deals out there, man. Right, so speaking of the PS5, man, so yeah, let's talk about this whole debacle then. So the PS5 was launched in the UK on November 19th, last Thursday, right? People who managed to, who pre-ordered their PS5 back in September, obviously they had nothing to worry about. They received their console, I think, you know, with sort of no sort of delay. I didn't hear much about people who pre-ordered in September experiencing any sort of issues. So we were informed that sites like John Lewis, Tesco, Game, Asda, Very, AO, Amazon, these were the sites that were Currys in PC World, right? Can't forget about them, right? they were the sites that were going to go live on November 19th with stock, limited stock of the PS5 available to purchase online only, right? I had my eye on Tesco, I'm not going to lie. I had my eye on Tesco. Just because I thought, you know, that might, that site may have a you know, less traffic than the other sites. Boy, was I wrong. So came to Wednesday night, I checked Tesco and they said, yeah, they're selling PS5 stock tomorrow from 9 a.m. be here, right? So I was like, all right, cool, man, cool, I'll do that. And I didn't think it would be that great with that big of a thing, because to be honest with me, you know, when I bought consoles, I think I've waited a bit. I don't think I've bought them on launch day and things. But then again, I didn't know how busy launch day and stuff would be. One being, obviously, I haven't bought consoles on launch day due to bug issues and things. But the reason I was interested in this one is because even if you were to order the console, right, it wouldn't be delivered to you until late early December, something like that. So I thought, okay, if I try to get one now, then it won't come till like December time, so that's great. So that's why I had my eye on Tesco specifically. But yeah, all of these retailers were going live with some PS5 stock, right? So I'll give you my account of how I went about things. So yeah, Tesco went on Wednesday night, yeah, you know, selling from 9 a.m, great, dope. I woke up about, you know, 8:50, 8:55, right, you know, just before I log on to work, looked on to try getting onto the Tesco site, it just wouldn't load, and I was just like, oh shit, okay, going to Twitter, and shout out to Rob from IGN UK Deals, you know, shout out to him, you know, he does a fantastic job of updating you about stock and deals and things, you know, about the PS5. So I sent a special tweet his way. He was great. He kept everybody updated about stock coming in and things. So this Tesco site would not load for good knows about 4 or 5 hours. I was looking at other sites. Currys in PC World said they would be launching stock at 9 a.m. gets to 9 a.m. then they say, oh wait, no, we're going to delay it to 11. Gets to 11 and they're like, oh wait, we don't have any, and you know, we're not going to be selling any more. We're not going to be selling any. Shuts everything down completely. However, people found out that Currys were actually online live for PS5 stock as early as 3 o'clock in the morning on Thursday, November 19th. And they said to the public that we will have stock at 9 a.m. We will go live at 9 a.m. However, a few lot of people found out that they actually had stock at Thursday, November 19th at 3 a.m. right, which I think is very misleading. And I've seen a lot of people tweet that, you know, they secured their PS5 from Currys at 3, 5, 6, half 7, 7, 8 a.m. and things before the site went live with the stock. Now, what was released after that was that, oh yeah, people who pre-ordered before 9 a.m. they're gonna get their pre-orders cancelled. So we thought, okay, fair, that's great, that's fair. They're gonna, you know, cancel all of them and actually put out the stock when they said they would. They didn't do that, and they sent emails to people saying, yeah, you know, your pre-order's cancelled. However, these same sort of people I've seen over the last few days that, you know, their order wasn't cancelled and they actually received shipping and tracking information that their PS5 has been dispatched. And you know, these are the people who ordered before 9 a.m. So I just feel like Currys and PC World were the highlight of this PS5 debacle, because they were misleading people. They did a really bad job of, you know, informing people and, you know, misleading them with wrong information and things. And I think a lot of people missed out because they were waiting on that, right? Game, you know, you know, they were placing people in a queue and releasing stocks sporadically, and that soon enough vanished. Amazon was set to launch at 12, just shortly after 12, you know, stock was going live, but I think they handled it a bit better. However, they were also receiving a lot of heavy traffic as well, so some of their server was going down a bit, and then if you were lucky enough to get one, you were to get one, right? John Lewis was sold out, Asda was sold out, very sold out. I said Tesco wasn't working for about 4 or 5 hours, right? So I didn't manage to get one at all, but I was just seeing the reactions pour in from everybody, you know, in the UK and things, and it was just a shit show, really. It's just a shit show of a launch. You know, it's just a shit show, and I feel for a lot of people. You know, I'm one of them. I'm sitting there like wishing, oh shit, I wish I had secured a PS5 pre-order and things. It really wasn't the case, and it's just the way they handled it and things was just absolutely diabolical, I think. With that being said, you know, if you manage to get one, then, you know, congrats, you're one of the lucky ones. In terms of stock update, we don't really know when we're going to get more stock here in the UK. It is going to come in waves. You know, with things opening again from next Wednesday, not sure if there's going to be some stock that's going to be in store, so, you know, we definitely need to keep an eye out for that. Black Friday is coming this Friday, and I know in the US that Walmart and Best Buy and GameStop, they are releasing some limited stock on the rollout, on the lead up to Black Friday, I believe tomorrow and things. It is speculated that we may get some stock here in the UK on Black Friday, but, you know, nothing's been announced, and we just got to be vigilant. The likelihood is that not everybody will get a PS5. Anybody who wants a PS5, then not everybody will get one. You know, primarily probably not this year. I've seen a lot of people, especially, you know, these gaming sites such as IGN and things, say that, you know, you're not going to get a PS5 probably until next year. Now, you won't get a consistent flow of stock. You won't get a great opportunity then until probably next year sometime. I'm not saying January, February. I don't think we'll be seeing stock in stores. Some people saying we're not going to see stock in stores until probably mid of next year, because obviously the way of Sony, like, a lot of people have been bashing Sony and things the way they've handled this. But they've not made enough. But I see it in a different way. I've seen these, you know, these gaming reviewers, these gaming podcasters, and, you know, these veterans that are in this gaming industry, you know, show Sony and Microsoft a lot of praise, and I do think that they do deserve a lot of praise for giving us a console, right, during this year that we've had. You know, they also, you know, the manufacturing production issues and things. You know, these consoles are manufactured and produced in, you know, in Japan and, you know, China and things, and, you know, due to the pandemic, there's only been so much production that's gone on, and there's only been so much stock that's been released worldwide, right? So you know, we've got, you know, I don't see it as a way to bash them or bash, you know, these sites that are helping us, you know. So just bear that in mind. I think we're lucky enough to get, you know, a brand new console this year and some brand new games this year with the year that we've had, right? With everybody being working from home and games being delayed and things, we've got to be appreciative that, you know, these consoles didn't get delayed, right? They stayed to the script and they said, yeah, fine, we'll still be delivering on this date this year, right? And they did that, albeit in less quantity, but, you know, I don't think it's their fault. You know, it's the whole situation that the world's going through with this pandemic, right? That's how I see things. And I don't believe that these companies or, you know, these people who are trying to help us secure something for us should, you know, be the recipient of abuse, you know, about foul language and things like that, and death threats and things like that. That's just not on, guys. I don't feel that's on. All in all, it was a shit show with all these websites going down. I think they should have known that this is the most sought after console, and they should have had some sort of preparations in place. I think they probably didn't know that, you know, how big this is, and, you know, so I think on the next go round, hopefully this will be a bit better, fingers crossed. But do remain vigilant on Twitter, on Instagram, on any sort of news feeds as to when more stock in the UK will be released. I do feel like there's going to be some stock released on Friday for Black Friday, right? So just take that with a grain of salt. I'm not confirming. I don't have any insider knowledge. You know, I don't have any of that. But just take that with a grain of salt, right? As if the US is having it, then I do think that we may have it as well. I'm just saying, take that with a grain of salt, but just be vigilant. Be vigilant. Right, man. Rounding off this week, man, so let's crash 4 It's About Time review. Damn, man, we're an hour 20, man. Yeah, so we had a lot of shit to talk about. Well, I'll keep this as brief as I can, right? Crash 4. So yeah, I finished Crash 4 It's About Time just last on the weekend, I believe, Friday, Saturday, I believe. Yeah, and so I've been a long time fan of Crash Bandicoot, man. You know, I remember playing a game back on the PS1, you know, when I was about 5 or 6, and you know, I've loved the character ever since. And, you know, I really loved that trilogy that was on the PlayStation, you know, 1, 2 and 3, and then even Crash Team Racing and things. I didn't really play any of the ones on the PS2, I think. That was Wrath of Cortex and things like that. Crash Bash as well, that was on PS1, great game as well. I've been a long time childhood fan of Crash, man, and, you know, that and Spyro, you know, those were the two games that I grew up the most on, you know, on PlayStation. So, you know, when number 4 came around after, you know, so many years, 22 years or so, I believe, right? 22, something like that, you know, 20 plus years that this fourth one is coming out, the direct sequel to number 3. Then, yeah, I was definitely going to get it because it looked dope, right? And, you know, so I picked it up last month, and, you know, it's quite a lengthy game if you're going about trying to get everything, you know, all the gems and things. It's quite a lengthy game in that aspect. If you're just blazing through and not picking up everything, then, you know, you probably finish it fairly quick, you know. But with me being the completionist that I am, you know, it took me quite some time, you know, like I was only getting to the second, third island or so, you know, and trying to get everything. I was definitely taking some time, coupled with, you know, these additional levels that you get called flashback tapes. These are the things in the levels that you get if you reach a certain stage in the level without dying. You pick up these things called flashback tapes, and basically what they are is they're not bonus levels, they're just additional levels with sort of a retro feel. And it's like a different sort of challenge. So, you know, mix that in with, you know, your regular levels and things, it's quite a lengthy, meaty sort of game you're kind of getting, right? Especially, you know, for the completionists out there like myself. Right, with that being said, right, this is a completionist's nightmare. This is definitely, people who are like me and who love the 100% things, this is a nightmare to complete. So much so that I gave up when I got fifth island, I believe. I gave up as soon as I got to the fifth island. Because the levels were getting harder, atrociously harder. They were getting annoyingly and frustratingly harder, man, to the point where I was just fucking throwing my head at the screen. I died about 108 times on a specific level, For those of you who've played it or looking to play it, that was the level Bears Repeating, right? Because I said, okay, I don't care about getting the perfect relic or the gem where you have to finish the level with less than 3 deaths. So I was like, if I'm cool not getting that, because I can do that later. As long as I get the other ones, the box gem, the hunt, you know, the more than 80% Wumpa fruit, and the hidden gem. If I can do all of those 4, great, right? Then I'll come back, right? So that was the mentality I was going with, right? And then picking up the color gems as well. That was the mentality I was going with, going, you know, throughout this, right? And it got to like the 5th island, and then you know, it just got ridiculously hard, annoyingly hard, and frustratingly hard, right? So I dropped my whole completionist act as well, the whole flashback tape act as well. I completely dropped that because I came to the realization, if I try and do this and try to go as a completionist, I'm not going to complete this game anytime soon, probably not until next year. And by this time I was already fed up of seeing Crash, man. I was fed up of the orange furball, man. I'm sorry, I was fed up of the fuzzball, man. So this game is very annoying a lot of the time, very frustrating, so hard, man. Like, this is definitely the hardest Crash game I've played. You know, playing 1, 2, and 3. 1 was the hardest back in the day, right? Compared to 2 and 3, that was the hardest, definitely. But I think number 4 just absolutely defecates all over number 1, man, in terms of how hard it was or how hard it is. Because this is absolutely filthy, man. Especially when you're going further into some of these other levels, man. It's absolutely so annoying, so frustrating that I just have no words. Right? I gave up my completionist act and I just went about, you know, just getting through the level and progressing the story and things, and that's how I finished it. The last two levels were disgustingly hard. So I just, again, you know, I just wanted to get through it and just finish the story and things. Now, with all these bad things in mind. Still a fun game to play, man. As much as it frustrated me, as much as it annoyed me, as much as it's given me PTSD and things, it is a fun game to play. It is an addictive game to play, it is a fun game to play. I'm not going to go back to it anytime soon because I need a break from that him. You know, the hill was me thinking that I was going to play Crash Team Racing Nitro Fueled after this. No, not a chance. Not a chance in hell. Not for a good 3-4 months at least, right? I just need a break from Crash because this game has scarred me. Emotionally has scarred me, mentally has scarred me, right? But all of that being said, you're getting the classic sort of Crash Bandicoot feel, you know, the platforming, the bonus levels and things, you know, the classic sort of feel and vibe that you get with Crash Bandicoot games. You've got some new additions in there, new playable characters. You've got this new inverted mode where you play the level, you know, mirrored and things. It's like flipped on its back, or you know, it's like some cool sort of effects that they add as well, which adds to the replay value. And then obviously you've got a ton of collectibles in there. Obviously you've got the gems, you've got the relics, you've got these flashback tapes and things. So it's a lot of things to do if you wanted 100% it, right? You've got a lot of things to do. As I said, it's a completionist's nightmare. But yeah. Great fun. Did enjoy playing it for, you know, for at least, you know, the 3/4 of it. And you know, definitely recommend it to you guys who are big fans of Crash. You know, you've been day one fans of Crash Bandicoot and you're looking for, you know, a great platformer and things. And for people who haven't played Crash, man, if you're looking for a hard platformer that will test you, man, then this is it. This is definitely one of them, man. So for that being said, with all the negative stuff around it and all the bad things, the annoyingness, or you know, the frustration and things, it's a great game to play, definitely, man. Definitely a great game to play. So for that, I award it 4 chilies out of 5 for me on the Spiceometer. For Crash Bandicoot 4, it's about time. Oh, I need a break from him, man. I tell you that, I'm not going to be seeing or playing any sort of Crash Bandicoot thing for a good 4 or 5 months at least. Alright, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah, that wraps us up, man, for this week's episode. Yeah, lengthy episode. I do, but we're getting to about 1:30. But yeah, had a lot of things to discuss. So yeah, thank you guys for listening, man. As always, appreciate you guys. Stay safe out there. Wash your face, hands, wear a mask, and you know all of that stuff, man. Stay cautious, stay blessed, and I'll be back same time, same place next week for you guys, man. Talking about what's all new in the hip hop, rap, R&B, grime, Asian music, video game, you know, news. All of, I'll be talking all about that, man. Same time, same place next week, man. Until then, man. I'm your boy, the Notorious Gucci, aka the boy, the most sauce, the boy, the most chutney, man. Sprinkle a bit of garam masala on top, the roti to your sack, the khichdi to your curry, the dal to your bhat, the samosa to your chutney, the dal to your tokri, man. Aka Milanoza, episode 124, Notorious Gucci podcast. We out here. Peace.
You're now tuned in to the spiciest podcast in the world. Live from your local cash and carry, the Notorious Gucci podcast. Have me some of that chutney.